guess I'm next. It's usually the sign when people start walking out. Well, it's great to be here with you. I must confess that this morning when I saw in the bulletin that it was Acts 28, 17 through 31, I went, oh. So this might be an interesting message. I thought I had the entire chapter, so we'll glean some lessons from the first section. Hopefully it's not the same lessons that you saw last week or whenever the last message was from there. I apologize for my covering some verses, but I would like to know how you expected me to cover the finale in, what do I have, 30 minutes? If it took you 2 years to cover the book, I mean, that doesn't quite seem fair, the distribution of time. Before we jump in, I do just want to mention Venezuela. Let's be praying for Venezuela, the very, very difficult circumstances. As you know, the circumstances there for the last years have been very difficult. So can you imagine buildings built under this regime with very little money, very little oversight, and now an earthquake? These earthquakes, they're just devastating. I think the numbers right now are around 1,500 already found dead, many more probably yet to be found. Just heart-wrenching stories coming out of Venezuela. Let's pray for there are quite a few assemblies in that region of Venezuela. We don't have any missionaries in that region, but Sam Killens and Alejandra, who are further south, are about 9 hours from the epicenter. He is trying to get there to help out the believers and the work, but he needs a visa to go that deep into the country. They live in Venezuela now, but they only have papers to live in the region that they're in. And so that was denied 2 days ago when the earthquake happened. He immediately applied. It was denied. He's trying again. So pray for that visa, that would go through, if the Lord would have him move to that region to help out. Ukraine was mentioned. Still tremendous opportunities there. Unbelievable stories. I can't take the time to share, but pray for the Murrays. George Murray is heading to the front lines regularly. The stories that he tells are just amazing of how the Lord is working in the lives of Ukrainian soldiers that are coming to Christ days before they lose their lives on the battlefield. So pray for that. We've actually invited George to come to the fall conference in November to tell some of those stories. So make sure you join us so you can hear those. Those will only be live because of the sensitivity of the circumstances and names and stories that can't be told. So you'll have to come join us in person if you want to hear those stories, but we'd love to have you. Turkey, that was a disaster fund that you all supported and many others. About $1.5 million sent over to Turkey to help after their earthquake. Well, we've now closed the disaster fund. There's a new fund to help with the ministry there because there's now much ministry to be done because there's many believers because of the work done from the earthquake. I mean, could you imagine, 4 or 5 years ago, speaking of this unreached region of Turkey, very difficult to access with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord somehow would see fit to create, to plant new assemblies surrounding Antakya through an earthquake. Well, pray for the work that is ongoing there, the believers that are working fervently, a lot of babies that, not human babies, but spiritual babies that need maturing and discipling and very few disciplers to do that work. So pray for those believers that are there doing tremendous work in Turkey. Well, we must get to it because or else we're never going to get through the topic at hand. So last year I was here and I covered Acts 14. And when I was invited back for Acts 28, I went, wow, they're still at Acts. Wonderful. And I get the grand finale, and that's why I put on my slide, the grand finale, or maybe it should be better said, the end of the beginning. I love Acts 28, and if you'll just go to the last verse, so after, we'll go back here in a second, but I might as well start with the end, and that way if I have to just cut short because the time gets the best of me, then I can just shut up and we're done, right? But let's start at the end there, verse 30. So after all of the journey and craziness, Paul finally gets to Rome and he's finally settled. It says Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him. And I love this verse, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. No one forbidding him. I like the translation of the NASB there. This is a single word in the Greek. That last word is unhindered. That really could be the overarching theme of the book, couldn't it be? Unhindered. The mission of God continues unhindered until Christ returns. Amen. That's it. That's we can close in prayer. Yeah, the book of Acts is, as I shared last time, not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the continuing work of the risen Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't end in Acts 28. And I think that's so timely. We'll get into this a bit more in a bit if we have time. But it doesn't end with the death of Paul. You would expect it's telling us the story of Paul, right? No. And that's why it doesn't end with the death of Paul, the ending of Paul's ministry or the ending of Paul's life. No, it leaves us with that word, unhindered. Continuing unhindered, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, unhindered. Now, Acts 1:8, you'll remember that verse from 2 years ago. It provided the divine outline for the entire book. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. And that's that small little circle there in the middle, and it's there was supposed to be this ripple effect, and that has been happening. As we see, Acts 1 through 7 in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, 8 through 12, the Gentile world in 13 through 20, and to Rome, the center of the empire, we finally arrive there as this journey, this last section of the journey in the 21 through 28. By chapter 28, 30 years from when Acts 1:8 declaration, approximately 30 years, the gospel has traveled from a small upper room of fearful disciples to the capital city of the known world. For the gospel to be declared before kings and emperors, and wow, hasn't the gospel continued unhindered? That's not that there haven't been obstacles. There's many obstacles, but gospel continues unhindered. It reminds me of a relay race, of a baton being passed from one to the other. Each runner not getting to the end, right? Each runner not coming to the finish line, but coming to the point of transference of responsibility. We watched recently Chariots of Fire with our kids. It's now out in HD, and it's neat to, I watched it when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. Neat to see the races and the endurance and passing on the baton, running my section of the race. The excitement of such a relay race isn't in one runner going the entire distance, but running as fast and as well as they possibly can for their section before they pass on the baton. Acts is God's relay race. We see Peter carrying the baton. We see Stephen carrying the baton and falling at the hands of murderous men. And yet it goes on, and Philip carries it, and Barnabas carries it, and Paul carries it. And we end not with the end of the race. Acts 28 is not the finish line. It's about the unhindered progression of the gospel of Christ. And the story is unfinished because the baton, guess who is carrying it today? It's in our hands. That baton is in our hands, brothers and sisters. Now is our time. This is our generation. And if the Lord does not return, we will hand that on. We should be already working to hand it on to the next generation. We need to see the Lord raise up that next generation. It's a joy at COML to see missionaries that have served faithfully for years, either to return or to refocus on the field and eventually go to glory to see the one that they've served so faithfully. And it's a joy to see new ones come and take up the baton. Not necessarily in the same place where the other missionaries served, because there the gospel has spread and now there's national believers that are carrying the baton. And yet there's so many other places that need witness. And so today we have the privilege of going through this chapter, which I'll fly through some of it because you saw it last week. But this is the journey that Paul and those with him followed as they initially, per their plans, traveled towards Rome, and in the latter portion, as they're shipwrecked and end up in places that they did not plan, that is where we'll be focusing on today. This, as they are in Malta from the shipwreck, and then they move on through Syracuse and Rhegium and up and on through Rome, that is our focus of Acts 28. So Paul arrives in Malta, and my first lesson to see here for us is that God's mission advances, again, unhindered. God's mission advances through every storm. There are storms. There are obstacles. But God's mission advances. God's mission is never halted because of the storms. And we might look at the shipwreck and say, well, this was a disaster. Well, think of those individuals on Malta that heard the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, that were healed gloriously and most likely heard clearly the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. From a human perspective, the journey had failed. The ship was lost. Paul is a prisoner. Everything's going bad. No. Gospel is progressing. God is working. Paul is bit by a viper, and yet the gospel continues on. What appears to be an interruption from our perspective is often God's assignment, is often God's alignment of activities and occurrences for the furtherance of the gospel. It's not our plan. Our plan would always be without the obstacles, right? No hindrances. Nothing to move us from one way to the other. And yet God's way often has jogs in its journey, doesn't it? There are setbacks and challenges, but they move us toward God's purpose. The prison and all of these things that occur to Paul are actually pathways to a palace. The ruler of Malta hears the gospel. So Malta was not a detour from Rome. It was part of God's plan for reaching people that Paul probably never intended to meet. And yet they were reached with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, many missionaries today would testify that some of their most fruitful ministries come from missed flights, visa denials. There's quite a few missionaries that are on the field today in places that they never planned to be, but they're there because their visa was denied somewhere else. Their plan was to be here, and yet that door closed. And at that moment, it was like, Lord, what are you doing? And yet now they're seeing the Lord use them greatly over here because of that visa denial. Yes, God's mission advances through every storm. So when God shipwrecks your plans, let's not moan and complain. Let's say, Lord, who's on this island that you want me to reach? Whose life do you want me to touch here in the middle of this problem? That's hard to do, because when our plans get snuffed out, usually it's not the fruit of the Spirit that comes out, it's the fruit of the flesh, right? It's a frustration. And we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, who is in this circumstance that you wanted me to reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your plan here? We also see that God's mission advances through ordinary faithfulness. I love this little piece, and you probably saw it last week, but I've got to reemphasize just because I love it so much, where these believers that we don't even know who they are, they're not named. They come there, verse 13 and 14. They found brethren and were invited to stay with them, and then they moved toward Rome, verse 15. And from there, when the brethren again heard about us, they came to meet us. And look at this little phrase. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Oh, man. Isn't that great? We don't even know who these brothers and sisters are, and yet they, when they heard Paul was coming through, they made the point to go. Now, in those days, it wasn't just jump in your car. We have no idea how far they traveled, but they traveled to go be with him. And he thanks God and took courage. You know, the mission is not accomplished by heroes. Oftentimes, we put people on pedestals, don't we? Somebody that's up at the front or someone that's on the mission field, we put them on a pedestal. But the mission is accomplished not by heroes, but by faithful believers. We all have a role to play, and we need to stop looking at things like, oh, well, they're the special ones. No, we're all part of the mission of God. Your role is just as important. Without you, we fail. Mission is accomplished by faithful believers. You know, we all know Neil Armstrong as he stepped onto the moon. Everyone knows the name, and he can quote him, and he was interviewed. And who remembers the names of the engineers who calculated everything just right to make sure that he actually landed on the moon and not ended up out in outer space? What about the mechanics that worked on things, the mathematicians that ran the numbers again and again and again, the technicians? No one knows their names. Yet Armstrong doesn't get there without them. I love this picture. We show this at MOP. This is a pilot of a bomber in World War II. And everyone thinks of the pilot, right? He steps out of the plane, and he's the one that's lifted on shoulders, and he's the one that's in the parades. And yet, to deliver those bombs, it took much more than a pilot. The pilot might be the recognized one. Maybe someone knows his name. And yet, look at the crew that's necessary to operate a bomber. It takes all of us. Missionaries may be the visible face of ministry, but behind every missionary, there's praying saints such as yourselves. The missionaries on the field would not be able to do what they do without you. There's praying saints and encouraging believers. There's brethren like these ones that when they hear about missionaries, they go. They travel to hear and to meet, to encourage. As Paul was here, he thanks God for these brethren and takes courage. I encourage you to come out on Tuesday to hear the stories of how the Lord used Susie over in Ireland. Spoke of the Moriartys, and they truly appreciated her visit and her ministry there with them. I think the word that Kathy used to describe her was an angel. Never underestimate the eternal value of encouragement, of prayer. The believers who walked to meet Paul probably never imagined that their simple act would be recorded in scriptures, that we would be reading of them today, would they? They'd be like, oh, well, we just want to go spend some time with him, pray with him. Well, they encouraged him so much that it was recorded here. Now we're into the passage for today. Oh, boy, we're in trouble. God's mission advances despite opposition. You know, Paul meets there with the Jewish leaders in Rome. We see in the verses there, 17 and onwards. We won't read all of it for sake of time, but Paul meets with them, and for an entire day, he opens the scriptures. He talks to them of the customs of their fathers. He explains the kingdom of God. He testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the result that we see there? Verse 24. Some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. We've seen this. You've seen this pattern over the last 2 years, haven't you, as you've gone through Acts? Time and time again, some believed, but some doubted. Some believed, but some doubted. Brothers and sisters, we are responsible for witness, not for results. We are responsible as ambassadors for our ambassadorship, our carrying the baton, but we're not responsible for the hearer. We proclaim, and they believe or they doubt. They believe or they reject, but we're not responsible for that. That's not ours. That's the Lord's. He brings the increase. Just as the farmer cannot create life and force growth and control the weather and all these things, the farmer prepares the soil, plants the seed, and faithfully cares for the plants. The harvest belongs to God. Often called the father of modern missions, William Carey labored in India for many years. You probably have heard the story. If you haven't, you need to read of it. What a wonderful story that of William Carey. He translated scripture. He preached faithfully. He spoke to many. And yet, there was no fruit. He endured hardships. Many would have called his ministry a failure. Many would look at those first years and go, that was a waste of time. And yet history calls him one of the most influential missionaries ever. Why? Because God brought the increase in his time and his way. We must be but faithful. Faithfulness precedes fruitfulness. Faithfulness precedes fruitfulness. And the fruit is his, not ours. And God's mission advances to the ends of the earth. Paul turns to the Gentiles. He's proclaimed the gospel here in 17 through 24. He's proclaimed to the Jews there, and some hear, some don't. And then so Paul, when it says, so when they did not agree among themselves, verse 25, they departed after Paul said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah, the prophet, to our fathers. Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their hearts, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you, speaking to the crowd, that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. And listen to this. And they will hear it. They will hear it. And end up with great dispute among the Jews. This is kind of the climax of Acts. The circles are continually widening. Having started with just the proclamation of the Gospels to the Jews and growing in diversity and in space and region that it was covering as it moved out, the Gospel has arrived in Rome. And not only has the Gospel arrived in Rome, the Gospel has arrived to Romans, to heathens, to Gentiles, to ones that the people of Israel would say, this is not for them. Paul proclaims salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Praise God for that, huh? I'm a Gentile. I praise God for the fact that salvation was proclaimed to the Gentiles, because we are here thanks to that ever-broadening ripple effect of the gospel. From a tiny beginning, when Jesus ascended, there were only a few hundred believers, and shaky at best. And yet, from that tiny beginning, over 30 years, the gospel has crossed continents. Languages have received the scripture. The scripture has been translated into different languages. Churches have been planted across the known world. The gospel continues to spread. And brothers and sisters, at the time that Paul entered Rome, at this climax of Acts 28, there were no believers in North America. Did you know that? Most likely no believers also in South America. No believers most likely in sub-Saharan Africa. No believers in Australia. And on we could go. Of regions of the world that at that time the gospel had arrived to Rome, it's constantly expanding. But when this moment in Scripture, Acts 28, most likely the limits of the gospel were Rome, Northern Africa, Middle East. And yet today, the gospel is preached in almost every nation of the world. Almost every corner of the earth has been reached, and yet thousands of people groups still remain without a gospel witness. The mission remains unfinished, unhindered, but unfinished. The gospel is still moving toward every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Now here we end up with Paul remaining under house arrest in verse 30. We return to where we started. Humanly speaking, he's confined. He's waiting trial. He's restricted. His hands are shackled. And yet the writer Luke concludes, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence unhindered. This is the final word. This is the final emphasis. It's kind of like a river that is constantly flowing, sometimes inhibited. Sometimes a rock will fall into a stream and it will deviate the stream, but it will continue to flow. It keeps moving, going around, going over, carving a new path, but eventually it's going to reach its destination. The gospel similarly has faced tremendous opposition and faces tremendous opposition today. And yet it continues moving. Communist governments have tried to suppress the church, stomp out the gospel, and yet some of the fastest growing churches in history have emerged under persecution. And that's still happening today. Why? Because God's mission is bigger than human resistance. Christ promised, "I will build my church." He promised, "I will build my church." His word will not fail. He is keeping that promise. So here in Acts 28, we come to the end of an unfinished book. Have you ever read an unfinished book before? You come to the last chapter and there's like 10 empty blank pages. You'd find that strange, wouldn't you? And yet that's the book of Acts. Acts ends strangely. No final verdict, no nice conclusion. Because Luke is portraying under the Spirit's leading that the story is not over. The author has left the final chapter empty because future generations will continue to write the story. That baton is continuing to be handed off. And as I mentioned earlier, it's in our hands now. The Holy Spirit is still working. The mission is still advancing. The gospel is still reaching new people. And the final chapter will not be written. Acts will not be finalized. The acts of the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit will not be ended. The final period added until that day when people from every nation, tribe, and tongue gather around the throne of the Lamb in the book of Revelation described, chapter 7, verse 9. Then it will be over. The growth of the gospel, the advance of the gospel will have ended. And there will be representatives from every tribe around the throne. Won't that be a wonderful day? And yet today, this is where we stand. a great harvest with few laborers. We have about 3.3 billion reached people that have access to the gospel, 90% of missionaries serving among them, and 10% serving among those that have not heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The unreached with little access to the gospel, 3.6 approximately billion people, 10% or less of the overall missionary force is working among the unreached, and less than 10% of mission funds are going into the unreached. We must be praying to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into these fields. We must be going to where the need is greatest, and we must be giving to reach the unreached. How shall they call on him whom they have not heard? The task is not finished. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So, brothers and sisters, today we are praying for that tiny little country in Africa. As you see countries in the World Cup that you go, I've never even heard of that country. How do they even have a soccer team? Look them up. Pray for those people groups. As you pray through your missionary prayer handbook this year for Northern Africa, what tremendous need there is there, and so difficult. We've had multiple missionaries over the last few years kicked out of those countries, and yet some of them are returning to other countries in that same region to continue to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's mission advances through every storm. It advances through ordinary faithfulness. It advances despite opposition. It advances to the end of the earth. And always, it advances unhindered because it's his mission. Satan and man cannot stand in his way. The mission is still advancing. The baton is now in our hands. The question is not, will God accomplish his mission? The question is more, what role will I play in accomplishing his mission? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this tremendous book of Acts. What a wonderful just grouping of lesson after lesson for us as we see ourselves in the lives of these early believers. Father, I pray that we would be as those early believers, as we face storms, willing to look to you, willing for your strength to be perfected in our weakness. When we face adversity, looking to you for a way around, because we know that your mission will advance unhindered. Yes, there will be jogs in the road and turns here and there in accordance to your plan, but you are in control. You are sovereign. And your mission will advance to the ends of the earth. Father, would you help us to be faithful ambassadors, faithful co-laborers of yours as we take part in this great mission. Father, we look forward to that day where those worshipers who the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship in spirit and in truth. We look forward to that day where we will join other worshipers from every tribe and tongue and people group to worship the Lamb who is worthy. Truly, he is worthy of it all. We look forward to that day. Father, help us to be faithful in the meantime. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.